For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's Evan and Tiki on the Fan. Evan off today. He's banged up. He's sick. Hopefully he's back with us tomorrow. Javits Center, come on down. 2 to 6, we will be there. Set up, having a good time. Dress like Tiki Barber as well and go to @EvanandTikiWFA on Twitter. That's the way to dress like Tiki, with the thigh-high stiletto boots, the kinky boots, Tiki Barber. Tiki, we do have NBA schedule release. I mean, it's about time. The season only starts what feels like a month from now. So a couple interesting things to point out. First of all, I'm just going to get this out of the way. I'm going to play the role of Evan Roberts. I know the joke, 15 people care. The Nets will open the season in Atlanta on a Wednesday night. Their home opener, for those that go to Barclays Center, is on a football Sunday, October 27th at 6 p.m.
The Nets still in the league?
God bless the Nets as an organization.
At 6 p.m.
Imagine telling the fan base that's there and that is dedicated. Hey, by the way,
that's not on the Nets.
Well, whoever it's on, the bottom line is this, Tiki.
I just can't put it on the Nets, but I know what you're saying.
Look, the Nets are going to have very few and far between games that fans are like truly interested in from the Nets' point of view.
Yeah.
They'll come and see opponents. The home opener still remains something special and something different. It can't be on a football Sunday.
Yeah, October 27th.
Jets-Patriots at 1 o'clock that day. I didn't look up the Giant game. That might be the Giants in Carolina in Germany, though, early.
That is the Giants. Nope.
No, what is
nope.
that?
The Giants, that's their bye week, I think.
Oh, is it?
Because I don't see them on the schedule. Oh, no, they're Monday night. That's right.
Okay.
They're Steelers.
All right. So, Giants-Steelers is a Monday night game?
Giants at Steelers, Monday night.
Okay.
I agree with you. I didn't remember that on the schedule.
I did not remember that at all. Okay. So, that being said, maybe this doesn't... Look, Jets at 1, Giants Monday night, if you're the any Net fan that cares. Bottom line is this. No fans should be put in a spot where they have to make a decision on their opening night situation being on a football Sunday.
Okay. Let's go Knicks.
They're going to have to compete against the Cowboys and the Niners on Sunday night football.
Yeah.
But
okay.
The basketball game honestly might be over by then.
That's
true. Is it 6?
6, but still you're missing the end of whatever the late window games is. It's just ridiculous. If the Knicks home opener was at 6 o'clock on Sunday, I'd be killing that too. It's ridiculous. But of course, the Knicks home opener is not. Now, to get to the sexy stuff, the Knicks. They will open the season. We already knew this in Boston on that Tuesday night, October 22nd. Their home opener. Friday night, October 25th. No football conflict to be had. Maybe the Yankees will be playing. We'll see. The Indiana Pacers and that whole...
That's actually a good one.
The Jalen Brunson, Halliburton, the MSG wrestling theme. We will bring that back to MSG for the home opener.
Yeah, forget the Jalen Brunson. The Josh Hart, trolling job that he put on Tyrese Halliburton after they basically laid down to the Boston Celtics, right? What did you say? At least we would have won one game?
One game. Yes, exactly. Now, Tommy, that gets you excited here, home opener?
Yeah, exactly. At least we would have won one game.
Obviously, the Knicks, the uncrowned champions. They have a chance to right the wrongs that was put on them. Attrition, they never really lost to the Celtics. They never really lost to the Pacers, so they have an opportunity to be both right out of the gates. Love it. Love everything about it.
All right. The Knicks will play on Christmas Day, as semi-traditionally they will. They will play at noon. They will start your Christmas Day 5-some.
Okay, that's good.
Now, remember, you have Netflix NFL football, I think, at 1 and 4:30. I don't even think football's doing a night game this year on Christmas. Correct me if I'm wrong. But the Knicks will play. So you're figuring, all right, Knicks in that spot, Miami, Philadelphia. No, Tiki. The Knicks on Christmas Day are hosting the San Antonio Spurs and Victor Wembanyama. And I got to be honest.
I mean, it's cool because it's Wembanyama, and he's going to draw.
Right.
And I think that's a plus for the Knicks. But it feels very non traditional.
Yeah, and I know,
like rivalry at all.
Yeah, it's Christmas Day, and
even
look,
historically, is it? It's not even historically.
No, it's not. And the NFL is taking Christmas Day from the NBA, which I think is unfortunate.
But
for the NBA.
You are correct. 1:30
1:04 What's the 1 o'clock game?
Chiefs Steelers.
Okay,
and then Ravens Texans, which is actually the 4 o'clock game is the better game.
Yeah, that's the better game. But nonetheless, so the Knicks are going to be competing with football. Again, it's on Netflix. Knicks Spurs. I don't know. It's just like, I get it. Victor Wembanyama is a draw for the league. It just feels unsexy to me completely. And if you are into the NBA on Christmas Day, before I pivot back to the Knicks, here's your five games on Christmas Day. You'll start with Spurs and Knicks. Remember, this is right in the, that game's going to end, whatever it is, 2:30 is the next game. In the heat of football, two football games, Timberwolves Mavericks. Again, feels very unsexy to me, but okay, Anthony Edwards and Luka. Yeah. But I'm also fine with that at 2:30 because the world's on the NFL. When you get to 5 o'clock, big boy pants time, 76ers Celtics, okay? That's a good game. And 8 o'clock, I know we are going to, we have wrung this thing dry. Lakers Warriors, which here's the thing. When I'm finally.
Well, I mean, it is kind of a rematch, not a rematch, but a re-putting together of the two heroes from the Olympic gold medal run, the MVP and LeBron James, meaning Olympic MVP and LeBron James, and Steph Curry, who was the actual hero of those last two games.
But when I'm finally,
that's kind of cool.
When we have no we have no football.
Thank you, Stephen A.
We have no football left. Our attention will finally turn to the NBA. And look, it's who knows how many more Christmas days you get of Steph Curry and LeBron James. So I understand that. I'm just kind of over LeBron James versus Steph Curry.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of over
it. I was too until this Olympics.
And they're not great teams. The Lakers and Warriors are not great
but
teams.
I think they're two great individual superstars. Superstars.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? And it's, when's the next time we're going to see that consistent of game-changing superstars?
True. I'm not sure, but who knows?
There's some really great players. Some of these young players are
Anthony Edwards is unbelievable.
Anthony, as is Wembanyama, who's a rookie of the year. Like, we know all of these guys are great, but are they game-changing players? And this is, it feels like the end of an era.
Yeah, they're
icons. Might be the last time we see it.
And they'll promote it. You're true. All right, maybe I'll come around, though. And look, let's
be honest. That one I can get behind.
I'm going to have some player props on that, and I'll be investing. 8 o'clock. I don't know. You feel this way?
LeBron James.
Tiki, I don't know if you feel this way as a dad, too.
Uh-huh.
I cherish around 7, 8 o'clock on Christmas Day, okay? Because Christmas Eve is always a big hubbaloo around me. It's a big deal. Christmas morning's a big deal. Whatever you figure out, Christmas dinner, wherever you go, by the time you get to 7 and you're packing up the bats and balls and wherever you are, that is finally, the kids are exhausted, I'm exhausted, it's me time. Christmas Day, for me as a dad, 8 o'clock is the first time it's about me.
Yeah.
Everybody, go do your own thing. I'm sitting on my ass on the couch. I don't want to be bothered.
That's when Tracy and me open our presents, though.
You don't open in the morning?
Nope.
Isn't your wife such a big Christmas person?
She is, but she wants to wait.
How do you wait?
Because you know me. I'm a Grinch. I don't care.
Well, that's also part
of it. So Tracy doesn't want to steal whatever, thunder.
From the kids?
From the kids.
But don't the kids want to watch you guys open up presents?
No, they could care less.
Really?
It's what did we get?
I always like watching my parents.
I got a new, I don't know, what is this, slime? I got new slime. Hey, great.
Let me go play with that.
I got a new makeup kit. Yay, let me go play with that.
I had an uncle always did.
So we don't open our presents till like 7 or 8.
I had an uncle that always did, believed in with his family, an after dinner gift. So they would always, everybody in the family would open up one more gift and close the night.
An after dinner drink, you mean?
Well, that would be great too. And I will do that, but we get Lakers Warriors in that spot. I can't believe Tracy doesn't open up her presents Christmas morning.
Yeah.
That shocks me.
Right.
I basically would elbow out my kids. I want to see what I'm getting first. Are you kidding me?
Santa Claus is leaving the building, boys. That's it.
You get Nuggets and Suns to close tonight. And that's the other thing, too. 10:30, 11 o'clock. I'm a little tapped out on Christmas
Day,
too.
I'm done. I'm good with that one.
I don't think in my life I've made the end of the fifth game on Christmas Day.
Wait, who was that one?
Nuggets Suns. So it's Durant and
it's all West Coast. So it's fine.
And that's right. All right. Now back to the Knicks. Any other things we care about? Okay, night before the Super Bowl for the Knicks. All right, you're all revved up Super Bowl. They are the ABC 8:30 Saturday night game, Loogie, MSG home versus the Celtics.
Oh, I love that. So you have Giants in the Super Bowl the next day, and then you have Knicks-Celtics Saturday night as a little appetizer. Give me so we have when we play Brooklyn in our home away from home. When is that?
Will that be a national game, by the way?
That game, the night before Super Bowl, ABC, 8:30 Saturday night.
Nice.
Okay, when do the Knicks go to Brooklyn? Well, I can tell you right away, the Knicks will close the season on Sunday, April 13th at Brooklyn at 1 o'clock. The final game, assuredly, of the Brooklyn Nets season will be with Knicks fans all in there chanting whatever they want to
Let's
chant.
Let's go Knicks.
And the Nets tank the game to get the kid from Duke, and it gives the Knicks the number one seed, and we get to ask Evan going into that game, do you want the Nets to win or not?
Yeah. This screams...
Let's go Knicks.
And this screams show outing, I would say. Big time show outing here. January 21st, a Tuesday night. Tuesday night, no football. January 21st, we're in the thick of the playoffs. Knicks at the Barclays Center, 7:30. That has us as a show written all over.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt about it.
Do we go back down to Philly as well?
You want to know when the Knicks are in Philly?
To go see FOMO Cheeks?
For a regular season game? I don't know if me and Tiki need that in our lives.
Yeah.
You want to know when they're in Philly?
I don't know if FOMO Cheeks is going to show up.
Yeah.
I think he
might be banned.
He was in the suite because he was a potential client, whoever was in the suite next to Mark's.
Yeah.
You probably shouldn't do business with that guy.
I don't know if I'm... Are they only in Philly one? No, twice. Tuesday, November 12th is a TNT game. I think that's a tournament game. And a Wednesday, the 15th, so you don't get a weekend game. We're not going to Philly.
No.
No way. But that's basically it. Those are your little breadcrumbs. Also, Knicks-Nets will be part on Friday, November 15th, of that Emirates Cup. They're in the same little pool play. Mark it down. That'll be the one game the Nets play. Oh, how about this? Friday, November 15th, and Sunday, November 17th, football Sunday, back-to-back, the Knicks host the Nets. That's right. Mm. Knicks and Nets, the two trips that the Nets will make to the Garden happen on the same weekend. Back-to-back games, Friday and a Sunday. Do you like that, Tommy?
I don't like any basketball games on a football Sunday.
That's 7 o'clock at night, to be fair.
Let me just start with that. But a lot of times the Knicks play at noon on a football Sunday. I can't stand that. Just don't play on Sundays. Nobody should be playing Sunday. Yeah, no, but I like the back-to-back. No, I don't mind that. I just don't like that it's a football Sunday, one of them.
Yeah, okay. So that's it. And that's pretty much all I got for you. And I don't know if they'll get flexed into more of those Saturday night primetime games, but the night before the Super Bowl is the big one. There's your Knicks schedule, all right? You all revved up. The uncrowned champions all excited.
The uncrowned champions, they have dudes, they have dogs, and through the power of friendship,
right,
we'll do damage. Thank you.
And we've gotten there. 888-808-1019. Tony and Bayonne. Tony, what's up?
How you doing, guys? You talking about, you know, a guy being open when he's covered.
Yeah.
If you remember, Eli was like the master at that.
100%. Also because he had big wide receivers. Think about Plexico, Amani, and then Hakeem Nicks when he came in. Right.
Yeah, that game in Green Bay and the ice ball up there with the back shoulders toward the Plexico. My question is can Daniel make those throws? He's good on a crossing route. He can let the ball go down the field.
Yeah.
Or is this just going to be Malik, you know, go deep?
Yeah,
you know?
Well, it's Tony. It's a good question because we honestly haven't seen it at a time. I'm trying to remember if his rookie season he made a lot of throws. I just don't remember enough. From his rookie season, if he was making throws like that.
Now, he definitely attempted more throws down the field. And Evan Ingram had plenty.
Tony was talking specifically about those back shoulder throws that Eli used to master, right? Those high away from the defender, you know, catch the defender's blind spot where my guy's the only guy that can see it. I just don't remember him making a bunch of those throws young. And I think over the last couple of years, he just hasn't had the wide receivers to do it.
Right.
Who was the tallest wide receiver last year? Hodgins? Isaiah Hodgins,
yes.
Maybe?
Yeah.
Right? You got Wandell.
They were always short. We called
them Sterling Shepard. You got
the year before Richie James.
Yeah. They were all little wide receivers. And so in order to do that with a little wide receiver, it's got to be like precise.
Yeah.
And it's got to be, you know, back down here around below your shoulder as opposed to above your shoulder.
Even early in his career, Golden Tate was not a big receiver either.
Right. So he just hasn't had those big targets. And by big, I mean guys who can go up and get the football.
Right.
Some of these guys who are small, like Odell was not small because he was probably 6'6", 6'1", but he'd go up and get a football.
Right.
And so that's what you need. And I think he has that now.
For sure, with Malik Nabers. And then, by the way, if you start bracketing him, streaking down the field, Jalen Hyatt, where hopefully you could just put it there and he runs into it. Let's go to Judd in Hartford. Judd, what's up?
What's up, Judd?
What's going on, boys?
All's good.
Firstly, a bit of a walking contradiction here. Massive Boston fan, also massive WFAN fan my entire life.
Love it.
I'm 30, 37. I grew up in Connecticut, back in my dad's car, listening to Mike and Chris, and I never stopped listening. But
and you root for all Boston teams.
All Boston teams, huh. Except I went to UConn. I'm a big UConn fan.
That's amazing.
But does the fan historically, Judd, tell me this, because I don't know. Do they historically crush Boston teams? Like maybe a little bit, maybe a little bit the Celtics, but do they historically crush
like WFAN? You mean?
Yeah.
I mean, the Jet fans hated the Patriots
but,
forever.
I mean, other than that, like
oh, the Red Sox, yeah, crush the Red Sox all the time.
But I think that stopped though. I felt like that stopped.
I guess.
Yeah, it's not the same as when I grew up. When I was growing up, early 2000s in high school, Red Sox Yankees was like you fought at school for that stuff.
But then it stopped. It stopped becoming a thing.
It did.
Yeah, well, agreed. 2004 changed that.
I would agree with that wholeheartedly, but I got to reply to Loogie.
Uh-oh, let's hear it.
Because
Loogie!
The fact that he thinks that the Celtics didn't really win the championship, I've heard it for 3 times this week, and it makes my blood boil, man. I'm telling you, it's insane, because 98% of the Knicks fan wanted Julius Randle gone when he didn't perform in the playoffs in the past. Now, that's part of the reason why they didn't win the championship. We didn't have Julius Randle. I got to hear it from some of my Knicks fan friends, and it's absolutely absurd. The Celtics were easily the best team in the NBA all year. It wasn't even a question ever. And if anything, I'd say the Knicks overachieved, and you're due for a real downswing in the loss in the win column. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, Tommy, care to respond?
Yeah, I would. The Celtics, did they beat the Knicks in the playoffs, Judd?
They did not. I'm not sure where this argument is going.
No, well, those rings that you're getting on opening night, they belong to the Knicks. You didn't beat the Knicks. The Pacers didn't beat the Knicks. Attrition beat the Knicks, and the Knicks fully healthy with dudes, dogs, they will do serious damage, and I can't wait to play you, Judd, and I can't wait to see you. You can come down here, we'll go up to Boston, Eastern Conference Finals, the uncrowned champions are the Knicks, not the Celtics. Look, you have a great franchise, congrats, but you didn't beat the Knicks. You are not the real champions.
In 25 years, when my grandkids are reading some Wikipedia page, who's it going to say won the NBA championship in 2024? It's going to say the Celtics. Nobody's going to remember anything about it.
Well, there'll be an asterisk, and then next we'll say uncrowned champions, the Knicks.
Wait, if you write it, but I also, Loogie, I love you, by the way. Man. I love all you. I really appreciate the time.
Thank you, Judd.
All right, thanks, Judd.
Be good.
Yeah, I mean, Loogie, I think what he failed to say, which I think everybody in their car was thinking, is I think you're right. You know what? I would get behind. The Knicks are the uncrowned champions. I like that. I think that's right. The problem is the Celtics are the crowned champions.
That's right. You can have that conversation with any other fan base.
Right.
Just not the Celtics.
So I won't even use wrestling. I'll use UFC. There are times where there's like the interim champion, right? Because the other champion got hurt. So when the Celtics play the Knicks, you have the interim champion and you have the real champion, and we will play for the unification of the belt. That's how I see this season playing out.
Okay.
The uncrowned champions.
The future of the station.
Oh, okay, terrific. Alex in Staten Island. Alex, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking the call.
What's up, Alex?
I just wanted to point out something that I saw with Tiki yesterday. I believe it was yesterday when you guys were on SNY and Evan was there.
Yeah, yeah.
Tiki. Teak, I was devastated, heartbroken, let down when I saw a picture that was hanging right above you wearing a Jets jersey, Teak.
Yes.
I can't tell you how much it bothered me.
Well, Alex, I'm so sorry.
It's one thing for you to hold the jersey, but to wear it.
But Alex, it was a gift. And I love Breece Hall as a player. I think he's phenomenal. So I put it on for a segment. It was just a segment.
I didn't realize
that Evan was going to exploit that moment and make it into a picture and hang it in the, what is this, the Mike Francesa studio.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't know Evan was trying to take advantage of me.
Oh, that's being naive. You know, Evan.
I love you, so I'll let it slide.
I appreciate you, Alex. Love right back.
Just one real quick one for you guys. Teak, in your honest opinion, what would be the minimum that Daniel Jones has to achieve this year if he were to want to keep his job or just stay in New York, period?
To come back.
I appreciate the call.
To come back. I mean, so let's assume that the offensive line is good.
Okay.
So any like success failure of the offense is on The quarterback in the skill possession play.
I'm sorry.
I just have to make that assumption.
I know. It's so unintentionally funny.
If I see Josh Azudu playing wherever and, you know, whiffing and Daniel Jones is running for his life, I just have to excuse Daniel Jones. I just have to.
I don't disagree. So, you don't understand, though. Hearing any sentence in the last 10 years start with, let's just assume the Giants' offensive line is good, is a good belly
button. Because that's the only way you can truly evaluate right. him. So right. I think he's got talent around him. His running back room is really exciting to me. And we'll get more into that as we get closer to the season and maybe even see them more in the preseason this weekend and next week. The wide receiving group is good. I think Daniel Jones not necessarily has to win a playoff game and go further than he did 2 years ago, but Daniel Jones has to look like a playoff quarterback. And if he doesn't, and if he is indecisive, or he's not taking advantage of Malik Nabers' athletic ability and mm-hmm. game-making ability, or Jalen Hyatt's speed and all those, if he doesn't look like a playoff quarterback, then I don't think he'll be here next year.
I think that's a good way to do it because, right, when we watched Hard Knocks, a lot was made about identity. Mm-hmm. What is the Giants' identity going to be without Saquon Barkley? To me, being at camp, watching the practices, watching everything, their identity seems pretty clear. They want to throw the ball down the field.
Right.
And they have built a team now because it's about who you build around them. With wide receivers, with the speed of Jalen Hyatt, the size and the ability of Malik Nabers, the twitchiness of Wandell Robinson, where that's three guys that are supposed to be really big, important parts of the core. If Daniel Jones is not the quarterback to take advantage of their advantages, then I think you've nailed it.
Well, look what we saw also in the first preseason game, the wheel route to
Eric Gray.
That was Eric Gray. The wheel route to Eric Gray. I mean, perfectly executed pick by the tight end. What the linebacker had to run underneath. Maybe it's because he was just a young linebacker and didn't realize what was coming, and he should have ran over top and would have cut that off. But he ran underneath. Tommy put the ball right where it needed to be. And you get huge plays out of running backs coming out of the backfield. That's in addition to what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And so the ability to make plays will be there for Daniel Jones. And if he makes them and he looks like a Pro Bowl quarterback, I think he'll be here.
And
if he doesn't and he's missing those throws or the timing looks off or he looks skittish, then the Giants will go in a different direction. You know it because they talked about it in offseason. If they had a chance to draft the future, they would have drafted the future. It didn't work out right. And so they're riding, as they said, their words, guess we're riding with Daniel Jones.
We will continue to take your calls. Aaron Judge, New York Giants, Knicks schedule, whatever you may please. But that does set me up, Tiki, and I want to tease this coming up. Remember last year how I was team tank for a quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
I'm officially planting the flag on August 15th that I am not team tank for a quarterback. And I'll explain why next. We're coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It's Evan and Tiki here on the Fan. Evan out sick. Come check us out tomorrow, though. We hope to have Evan back at the Javits Center, 2-6 Fanatics Fest NYC. Come hang out with us, take some pictures, have a good time, watch the show. We're going to have a fun time and dress like Tiki Barber. Go to @EvanandTikiWFan on Twitter. If you can pull off the kinky boots, Tiki Barber. And for those who don't know, I'm telling you, go at @EvanandTikiWFan on Twitter. We will put you on the air. That is a vow from Tiki Barber. Kinky boots, Tiki, if you can pull it off.
Because that's some commitment, just like it was commitment to be on Broadway. take some commitment.
That's my man.
There are so many versions of Tiki. We mentioned Kinky Boots, obviously, the football player. How about the Real Housewives of New Jersey, Tiki?
I was just in the corner drinking.
Yeah, that's a martini glass.
So that's an easy one. Broadcaster Tiki.
844 Bad Tiki.
Ooh! That would be interesting.
Rondé shows up, you mean?
That'd be great. Before I get more to your calls and more on the Giants, though, Tiki, I do have to update. We are in the bottom of the eighth. The Mets are trailing 7-6 in a game they were up 5-0 and have blown. Lou Gower, power positivity. You guaranteed a win 2 innings ago. It's the bottom of the eighth. Can we get another update?
You are right. They blew the game, but they are coming back.
Okay, so they're going to win the game.
They're coming back right now.
Mm. No. Are they going to win? 2 innings ago, you had no problem saying they will win the game.
No, I just said they were going to win. You said they blew the game.
So you will address the masses if they don't win the game?
Yes, they're in spitting distance. They blew the game, and they're coming back. They will win the game. They will win the series, and they will have a successful homestand. Damage.
Okay. So duly noted. 4 outs away from a Met series loss to the A's.
I know.
All right.
That's all right. Vientos is coming up. He'll hit another home run. You're good.
Tiki, I want you to hold me to this.
Okay.
All right? And I want Evan's not here, and I want Evan to hold me to this. Last year, you guys were so angry with me when Daniel Jones went down versus the Raiders, where I said at this point, I'd rather they lose the rest of the games in tank.
Yes, I remember
and be
this.
Taking a quarterback at the top of the draft.
But you couldn't do that because Dave's was in a second year, and you still have to establish a culture of trying to win.
Right. And as we learned, if you watched Hard Knocks, the Giants kept that culture. Tommy DeVito, I fell in love with everything. But ultimately, where did the Giants try to get back into?
Yeah, they tried to go draft the quarterback.
They tried to go draft the quarterback.
And by the way, that's why you don't tank. Because we've seen it every year. Teams move, or at least try to.
Oh, you set me up.
The challenge last year, meaning not last year, but last draft, so a couple months ago, there were, 8 teams that needed quarterbacks. Like, how many teams had no idea
what they were doing
with quarterback? And that was teams even that had veteran, let's call them stars. I'll put quotes around it. Stars on their team.
Denver Broncos. Russell Wilson's
your quarterback. You're desperate for a quarterback. So I think the reason you don't tank is because you can always move up.
You're walking me right into it.
Go ahead.
I'm planting the flag. Mm-hmm. Yell at me. You know what? I'll give you this. And HR won't like this, Tiki. Bitch slap me across the face.
Why?
If at any point this year.
Oh, this year. Oh, you mean you're going
I
forward.
Say, I want the Giants to lose all the games. I want them to tank.
I will.
Here's why. And we saw a little breadcrumb of it yesterday. The New England Patriots traded Matthew Judon to the Atlanta Falcons.
That's right.
All right?
Disgruntled. I think he wanted a new deal.
Right. And that felt like it was coming anyway. I look at the New England Patriots. And dog turd is what comes to mind. They are going to stink. And everybody in New York should relish that because they were so great for so long. I look at, and we'll see. I think everybody wants good things for Sam Darnold. The Vikings drafted a quarterback in the first round, J.J. McCarthy. He's lost for the year. What kind of year is it going to be for the Minnesota Vikings? I say this to say, while there may not be 6 first-round quarterbacks next year.
Probably three.
Shador Sanders, Carson Beck, and Quinn Ewers.
Yep.
What you had last year and what you alluded to, New England, Washington, Chicago, teams that were at the top of the draft that also needed quarterbacks.
New England, even though they didn't,
They needed one and they got Drake May.
Right.
I think we are headed towards a season where the teams picking in the top 3 or 4, I think a couple of them, if not the team picking first overall, are not going to be needing a quarterback.
Yeah.
And now I know this could be a disagreement, whether we agree or disagree on philosophy on how much you trade up for a quarterback. What we know and what is undeniable and what we saw with our own 2 eyes is a general manager and a head coach that had the discussions and belief for certain guys, they would be willing to do that. They could not get a trade partner in New England or Washington to do that. So if I know now that my GM, Joe Shane, your GM, Joe Shane, number one in our hearts, was willing to do that and talk to who? New England? Mm-hmm. Elliott Wolf and have those conversations multiple times? How am I to believe that next year, if they are in that position and they don't trust Jones's health, that they won't try to do that again?
Of course they will.
And it'll be easier is the wrong word.
Right.
It's
more likely.
Likely to have a trade partner with a team that just drafted a quarterback.
Because so many teams have drafted quarterbacks.
Yep. So
now some of those teams are going to be good, I think. Like Chicago, if you want a sleeper team, Chicago is that team. Because Caleb Williams is unique.
Yeah.
Don't always love him, but I think he does have this like stupid IQ. It reminds me a little bit of C.J. Stroud. Like, is it going to translate? Because remember the whole narrative? Oh, Ohio State quarterbacks, they don't learn NFL offenses. He's got a ridiculous football IQ, and it translated right away. Probably because of their offensive coordinator, Bobby Slowick, who had just come off teaching two other young players, Brock Purdy and Trey Lance, before that, how to be starters in the NFL. So he had like 2 years of experience before he actually had C.J. Stroud. But Caleb Williams, think of the talent on that team. There's so much talent offensively, skill position-wise.
Three great receivers.
DeAndre Swift as a running back. And so they have talent. They might not be bad. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like some of these teams that have young quarterbacks could be bad. Some of them actually might be good. The Houston Texans. I'm saying some of them might be bad.
Right.
Like the Vikings probably are going to be bad with the young quarterback.
The Patriots, I think, will for sure be bad.
The Patriots, definitely. They have young everything. They're getting rid of some of their veteran players. Their offensive coordinator, Alex Van Pelt, has never called plays, even though he's offensive coordinator in Denver. It was Stefanski that called the plays, so it's the first time doing it. But a lot of them actually might be good.
Right. Denver, by the way, another one that could be bad with Bo
Nix. Could be bad, but I don't know. Bo Nix looked all right.
He did. But the point is, the last year, you had an unprecedented situation where the teams that were picking at the top also need a quarterback.
Yes.
So I cannot, in my heart, root for tanking games this year if I want Dable and Shane to continue, knowing that I know they will be aggressive enough and might actually have a trade partner.
And by the way, they probably could have gotten to where they wanted to go this year.
But it would have cost...
If they were convinced to move off of Daniel Jones, which I don't think they were. They were still hanging on a little bit. And I think part of that was John Mara's, we paid him, so we paid him type of thing. But I think it was also, you still don't know. There's still like a question mark.
Right.
Again, I've said this multiple times. The Giant fan is frustrated with Daniel Jones because they're tired of waiting.
Right.
But the Giants, as an organization, don't actually know whether or not he's good or not.
Right.
Consistently. So it's worth it to find out, I think.
And we'll,
next year... If it's still the same question mark, they're moving on.
Oh, exactly. If you still have questions at the year six, the question has been answered.
Yes.
888-808-1019. Let's go to Marcus in Pennsylvania. Marcus, what's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, man?
I caught the show late on the Odyssey app. Giving a plug to the Odyssey app. I
appreciate you, dude.
I was listening to the topic of Aaron Judge, you know, if he doesn't win a championship, would he be considered a great Yankee?
Yes.
And I have to say, yeah, because he's been in the league, what, 7 years, 8 years? And I think Juan Soto and Garrett Cole are the only two, probably sure Hall of Famers that he's played with. I know the Yankee teams of Derek Jeter, Mariano Rivera are the only Hall of Famers, but they had such great borderline Hall of Famers. I mean, when those teams played, and I'm a Mets fan, they were the best team in the league by far, than anybody.
They were better teams,
Aaron Judge
for sure.
Hasn't played with players like that. He's pretty much the offense of that team.
Now.
You know, Yankees going to give him those type of players to play with to challenge for championships?
Well, I mean, Juan Soto and Gerrit Cole are on this team, though. I mean, we always talk about the core four of, you know, Jeter, Posada, Pettit, Rivera. Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, and Gerrit Cole is a pretty damn unbelievable threesome to have on one collection. You want to tell me those teams were better?
Hold on, but I think what he's saying is that you look at those Yankees teams from the, you know, those what years were those?
The 90s, 96 90s. To 2000, yeah, and then, of course, the later one, 2009.
Right. Think of the names. Posada. Pretty damn good. Tino, very. Chuck, Knobloch, very good. Jeter.
But most of them were very good, not great.
Not great, but at least good.
Right. They didn't have the holes the Yankees had.
Was it, oh man, is DJ LeMahieu going to have a season this year? Oh man, is Gleyber Torres going to figure it out this year? We going to have these slumps? Is Cabrera going to figure this thing out, or is he going to be up and down? Like, they didn't have that roller coaster thought process about multiple positions. The Yankees have that about multiple positions, and some of it's not their fault. Some of these guys are young. And on the other side, some of them are just old.
Right, that's true.
Those late 90 teams, you know, mid to late 90 teams, they didn't have that.
Look, this is a modern-day Ruth and Gehrig when you have Soto and Judge in a lineup. And I know you want to go back to those. Who knows how great those teams were beyond that. None of us saw them You got to figure it out. I can't cry, you know, poor that Aaron Judge doesn't have enough talent. I'm not going to deny those teams are better.
It's just different.
Yeah.
Like, think about it. Paul O'Neill, 99. What was he, 36?
Right.
Six, seven, whatever he was.
But he was still good. He wasn't Josh Donaldson.
He had 100 RBIs.
Right, exactly. No, I know. Look, there's no doubt those teams were better. They were better, but I'm not going to look back at an Aaron Judge ringless career and go, man, but you know what? The teams just weren't good enough around him. Find a way to get one. Get one? I'm not asking for four in a dynasty. One. Andrew in Flemington. Andrew, what's up?
Hey, Tiki Marash. How you guys doing?
Good, man. What's up,
man?
Hey, Tiki, first off, big fan. You actually helped me win some of my fantasy leagues back in the day.
That.
So I appreciate that.
I love that. Appreciate you.
Yeah, I want to get your thoughts on Jalen Hyatt. You know, all the positives on Neighbors and Wandell. But, you know, Hyatt looks good. I think, you know, second year, might take a step up this year, big playmaker. Just kind of, what are your thoughts? I went to Giants camp. He looked really good to me. And,
well, he's you know, a blazer. The thing I like most about him... Well, the thing I think he needs to evolve into, and this is so much on Mike Groh.
The wide receivers coach.
Shout out to my former UVA quarterback, Mike Groh. He's got to learn to be like a complete route runner.
Wait. Their wide receiver coach was your quarterback?
Mike Groh. We beat Florida State?
Yeah.
In 1995, the quarterback under center was Mike Groh.
Wow. Okay, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
How about that?
My boy.
Okay.
So, but Mike's got his hands full. Because one, he's teaching a rookie, and it's a different group. But he's also got to develop these guys, and I think he will.
Because Wandell's year three, year two for Hyatt, and obviously year one here for Neighbors.
So you gotta be really good at everything. Last year, it felt like Jalen Hyatt was take the top off the defense kind of guy,
and they didn't have an offensive line to allow them to do that.
Exactly. One game.
Right.
One game. So when you're that player, if you can also develop a little, you know, route running and wiggle, and it gives you optionality in what you do, then it makes it so much easier to call plays. So I really like the kid. I mean, I'll never forget the Alabama game, and again, it's a college game, but it's Alabama. He's still running, right?
Yeah.
He's 300 yards or so in that game.
He was unbelievable.
He was unbelievable. You put him in man coverage, he was beating you. And I think because of the play schemes now with Dave's calling plays and, you know, their ability to get deep, you're going to see some games where Jalen Hyatt's got man coverage.
Right. Oh, man.
If I see it, I'm taking advantage of it.
And Jones better.
He better.
Rob on Long Island. Rob, what's up?
Hey, Tiki Marash. How we doing?
We're good, dude. What's up?
What's up, Rob?
Yeah, so I don't know, boys. I'm a big Net fan, full disclosure.
All right.
And I'm looking at the, It's like,
oh, no. Is this a joke?
What?
We lost him?
You hung up on him?
Oh, there he is.
Oh,
I thought Loogie hung up on him.
What's up, Rob? We lost you for a second.
Okay, good. Now I'm still here.
Good. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, we hear you now.
Got? Okay, good. So, yeah, I'm looking at the schedule. I'm a big Net fan. And I'm looking at the schedule for the Nets and the Knicks and, I don't know, boys. I'm getting kind of excited here. I know the Nets are in full tank mode. That's obviously that's the direction that we're taking now that we traded Mikal Bridges, right?
Right.
But I got news for you, Loogie. I know you listen. I got news for you. For any Knicks fan that thinks you're going to step foot in the Barclays and think we're going to take it sitting down, that think that you guys are going to come into the Barclays Center and act a fool, you are pathetically mistaken. The Nets fan base right now, we're more revved up than ever. And let me tell every Knicks fan listening right now.
The Nets still in the league.
We are very much still in the league. And we are not playing. We are more revved up than ever. And I'm wearing that black and white when I go to MSG, too. So if you guys think that, of course, we're in tank mode, the Nets fan base, they must have dwindled from 15 to 5 fans now. Ha, 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 ha. No. We're not playing games this year. I'm more hyped up than ever. So I don't want to hear all this, oh, yeah, the Knicks are going to come over and take over Barclays again. We're more perfect than ever. We got something coming for y'all. You're coming to Barclays.
Rob, who's your star? Who's your star next year?
Oh, I love that you brought that up, Tiki, because another thing that I got a problem with, not so Marash, but more Evan Roberts.
Yeah.
That fake Net chief, the chief of the Nets, quote, unquote. and I love Evan. But I got a bone to pick with him particularly. Because why is it that Cam Thomas is never mentioned.
He's the second best player in New York.
A Nets fan.
He's the second best player in New York behind Brunson.
I got news for you, Mraz, and obviously, like, most people don't even say that he's second. I think he's going to be first. Not right now, obviously. I know that he's young. He's 22.
Huh.
In my opinion, and I know this is a hot take, you guys could go crazy on me, whatever. Whoever's listening can go crazy on me. I think he's the MVP.
Of the league.
Of the play-in tournament?
No.
Of the All-Star game?
National Basketball Association.
This year or in his life?
No, in his life. I'm looking for the future.
I actually don't think that's a hot take. I think he could be. He could develop it. I mean, he's such a great scorer.
What's he, 35% three-point shooter?
Thanks for the call, Rob.
He's very efficient from the field.
Tiki, the kids would call him a bucket.
Yeah.
He is a bucket. I love Cam. Now,
and how old is he? 20?
He's very young.
So he's young.
Yeah. Now, he did say, he called Lou, first of all, he called Evan a fake chief of...
chief of Nets.
Of Nets fans. Also, he told Lugie, he's not going to take it standing down. Like, the Nets fans are not going to have it this year. Sitting down, standing down, whatever.
I don't even know where to begin with Rob, who seemed like a cool dude, cool basketball fan.
What a unique call to get August,
by the way. He just seems like a... Like, he seems like positive Tommy.
Absolutely.
He's positive Rob about the Nets.
He was
positive
Robbie.
Yeah, yes. He was
positive
super chill.
Robbie about the Nets.
That's why I didn't want to go at him, because he seemed like a chill dude. He wasn't coming with, like, you know, a lot of vitriol. But the idea that any Net fan is more pumped up about this season as opposed to, I don't know, when you had Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and you couldn't even make the Eastern Conference Finals,
yeah,
that's number
but
one.
I think... I don't know this because I'm not a Net fan, but I feel like the Net fan... wants it to happen organically.
Oh, definitely. And they had that team, obviously, with D'Angelo Russell and Joe Harris and company. Joe Harris, shout out, retired.
Did he retire?
Yeah, he retired. That's in Wahoo-Wah.
Wahoo-Wah.
Look, that team, we all fell in love with as Net fans, if you were a Net fan. I'm not going to lie, though. When you get Kevin Durant and Kyrie, I was giddy. I was pumped up.
Yeah, but
I'm not nearly as pumped
up. But when it didn't work out, weren't you... Also, like, of course, I saw this coming a mile away.
I didn't, because I really thought in the NBA when you had superstars, it just works. But I was blind to it.
You know what? We say that all the time. We can build a super team. How many times has that actually worked?
It didn't work with the Clippers either, by the way.
Right. So how many times did it actually work? It worked once with LeBron.
Yeah.
And I guess it worked with KD going to... But that wasn't really building a super team.
And it worked with LeBron again in the bubble with him and Anthony Davis.
Okay, but I can't count that as a successful building of a super team because we bring stars together.
Right.
That was LeBron did not have the attrition of he's getting older at that point. Was he 36 or whatever it was? Getting older at that point. I think he had battled some injuries either year before or maybe that season. They benefited from having a month and a half off.
You're right.
And then going into an isolated environment and just playing ball. You put LeBron in an isolated environment for a couple of weeks and go play ball, guess what happens? MVP of the Olympics. That's LeBron James. So I hear what you're saying. To me, that wasn't a successful super team, the LA Lakers in the bubble.
But regardless, what's the common denominator on a couple of those? LeBron James. So
the other thing, probably the more important factor.
Right, exactly.
It's LeBron.
Look, bottom line is this. As a Net fan, I'm excited for what's next after this year. Hopefully they stink and they get Cooper Flagg and he'll clearly be, you know, the talk of the town and the toast of the town.
But you just paid Nick Claxton.
Yeah, well, you got to pay somebody.
Okay, so isn't Flagg a center?
I'll be honest with you, Tiki.
I actually don't know what position he plays.
No idea.
I just know he was holding up great against Team USA.
Check me in February, I'll tell you what he plays. Right. I got no idea.
He's 17. Like, who cares what he plays right now?
Exactly. All right, we come back. Maybe we will have a final in the Met game and a statement from Positive Tommy.
Mm.
Chew on that for a little bit. Plus your 888-808-1019.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number
1.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.